Hello and welcome along to another episode of Glow West, where we discuss sex, sexuality and the body from a sexual wellness perspective. Glow West is proud to be a part of the Tortoise Shack Network, and if you wish to support the podcast via Patreon, I'd love you to pop along to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, and this really helps get the word out about the podcast. So today, my guest is a woman who I deeply admire after meeting her a few years ago at a sex education conference in LA. She had more energy than I did running around everywhere, despite being in her 70s, so putting me to shame. So today, I'm getting my glow on with Joan Price. Joan's the author of Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved, and also Naked at Our Age, and many more. She's also the co-creator of the award-winning Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, Senior Sex, and she is an advocate for ageless sexuality. Thanks for joining me, Joan. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. Gosh, getting your glow on. I've never had such a flattering intro.
Oh, you have quite the glow, honestly. You were putting me to shame. You were running around with so much energy while I was having naps. And
I've been accused of that, yes.
Well, come here, you have so much energy. So I want to know how you got into this business. I suppose you've been writing about sex for about 20 years. So you're a relative latecomer, no pun intended. But you used to be an English teacher. So how did you change career paths?
Yes, I've had a few different careers, Carolyn. I was a high school English teacher for 22 years, and then I had a career in health and fitness following a near-fatal automobile accident where I realized my fitness habit had quite literally saved my life.
Oh, wow.
And I became a group exercise instructor, a health and fitness writer. I wrote articles and books about health and fitness. And then when I was 57, I fell in love with a man who was 64. And we had the most exhilarating and spicy and satisfying and hot relationship.
Nice.
And I was amazed. I'd been single for a lot of years, and I had encountered what many people described as invisibility. When I reached menopause, I'm sure you've discussed this on your podcast with others, but although I felt I was at a vibrant time of life, I was treated as if I was invisible. And I thought, how can this part of my life be over, part of the life meaning relationships, love, sex, how can this be over when I feel I'm in my prime intellectually, emotionally, in so many ways? And then I met Robert, and we fell in love hard. We were together 7 years. I lost him to cancer after that point.
Oh.
But after a few years of our relationship, when I was bemoaning the lack of books and other information that portrayed sex the way he and I were having it, exuberant, not like younger age sex, but fully wonderful and glorious. And I said, "Why? Where are the books about this?" And he said, "Well, you're the writer, write your own."
Oh, I like the sound of him.
I know. So that was the beginning. At age 61, I started writing about sex, older age sexuality, with Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60. I'm now 76, and I have not stopped doing this work.
Wow, fair play to you. You have some energy levels for sure. But I saw an interview and based on what you said as well, where you said that older people might be having robust, fabulous sex, which is such a great expression, and everyone should be having robust, fabulous sex. But a lot of people, you know, one of the YouTube videos that you have said what they tell you is they're happy to be done with sex. So that's quite a different experience to what you're reporting there. You kind of got reinvigorated as opposed to being relieved that part of your life was over.
I never wanted it to be over personally. But yes, I do encounter that. I encounter three things, really. I encounter the people that say, my sex life is better than I ever expected to. Then I encounter those who say, ick, sex, I'm glad it's over. And then I encounter the bulk of what I encounter. It was people saying, well, I wish I were having good sex, but here's what's interfering with it. And then they tell me I've been so candid with them in my writing and in my speaking that they feel that they're just across the kitchen table from me, and they start telling me about their sex problems, which is really why my first book was not my last book, because I thought it would be. I thought, okay, I'm going to write one book about senior sex, and I'm going to turn all this upside down. Well,
you
maybe
opened the box
upside down, but a lot of things fell out when I did that. So it's become a mission, a profession, a joyful life for me to be able to educate, write, speak about senior sex, and help people who are hoping to improve their sex lives. I've learned a lot over the last 15 years. I assume I'll keep learning and keep teaching. 76 used to seem like such an old age, and I guess it is. I laugh about old people's sex, but old people's sex can be pretty wonderful. But it isn't automatically wonderful, you see. That's the thing, Carolyn.
Yeah, we need
to educate ourselves about the changes in our bodies, the changes our emotions, what is interfering with our sex lives, if indeed it isn't better than we ever expected, if indeed is, oh, geez, I never thought it'd be like this.
So what would some of the main problems be then that people face as they age when it comes to their sex life?
The main problems fall under the area of what I call the umbrella of sex is not what it used to be. The old ways don't work the way they used to. Whether that is that the penis does not have easy or reliable erections, or erections at all perhaps, or the vagina is not accepting of penetration, or responses are slower or really difficult to come by. Orgasms are difficult. Arousal is difficult. I don't feel desire the way I used to anymore. All of these, I think, fall under the umbrella of the old ways don't work the way they used to. And no, the old ways won't, probably. And for some people, they do. One person wrote me, I'm still Juicy Lucy.
I love that expression.
But I don't usually hear from Juicy Lucy. I usually hear from Dry Dora instead.
Okay.
So if we can understand that, yes, the body changes, the hormone depletion affects what we feel and how we experience sex, or whether what used to be the way we had sex isn't comfortable for us or possible for us anymore. But that isn't a reason to say, okay, no sex now. It's a reason to say, let's figure out what our bodies do want. Let's figure out how our relationship can work. Let's figure out alternatives to the ways we thought sex was supposed to be. Could you see the air quotes of supposed to be?
Yeah, sure.
If we take away all of the supposed to and all the shoulds and all the ought to be's, and instead we explore what works for us, what is sexual pleasure for us these days?
But do you think that's hard for people to find if you're from a different generation where sex really wasn't spoken about, and there may have been maybe perhaps stronger religious influences, or just an era where sex was just something that was very silent and very private and probably ended with your spouse if they passed away? So how do you get comfortable having that conversation if you're in your 70s and you've never had that conversation before?
That is a huge issue. And in fact, I'm preparing a webinar. You probably saw from my website, joanprice.com, that I offer several webinars, so that the things people are asking me, I have answered in those. They're really like workshops, but online.
They're brilliant. But they're such a good resource.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. There's one that I am planning right now that I hope to have up soon, but I've been hoping that for months. So let's get that done. It's called Help Me Find the Words. And it's exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. How do I talk to a partner about these issues, about what isn't working for me, about what might work better, about sex in general? How do we even talk about that? Because you're right that certainly I grew up in an era where sex was not talked about. And if it was, it was shamed.
Yeah, same in Ireland.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, then we grew up with the idea that we weren't supposed to have sexual feelings until, of course, the magical wedding night when everything would fall into place.
No pressure.
And then I don't know if this was true in Ireland, but growing up in the United States, I was taught, we were all taught, women were taught, that if we, then after the magical wedding night, if we did not have orgasms through intercourse, through PIV, penis in vagina, that we were, and here was the term that was used, frigid.
Oh, yeah, we definitely had that word over here as well. And it's so infuriating because there's so much wrong with that word and so much blame wrong on a woman.
Yes,
and on a guy as well. You know.
And most women do not have orgasms that way.
Absolutely.
Probably 75-80% of us do not experience orgasms that way. So how are they telling most of the population that we are inadequate?
Yeah, that's so sad. And also not mentioning the word clitoris, you know,
yeah,
that
I know.
Doesn't seem to be part of a lot of sex education.
Oh, I know. Well, sex education, that's a laughable thing. When I was growing up, and the younger generation, I call the younger generation seniors in training, because if they're lucky, they'll get to be my age. They at least have learned to talk about sex. I don't know that they've really learned to be honest about it yet. I think there's still plenty that they can learn about that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, sex education around the world really needs to be improved a lot as well. But I suppose senior sex, could you divide it into two different eras, before Viagra and after Viagra, and what that change has meant?
Okay, you just got me started. Listen.
Okay. It'll be a 3-hour podcast.
Whether or not people are able to have good sex does not depend on an erection. And in fact, the best gift that you, I'm talking to your audience now, the best gift that you can give yourself and your partner at any age is to take the goal of penetrative sex and of orgasms through penetrative sex off the table. Just start exploring other ways to pleasure yourself and pleasure your partner. And then if you reach the time, or if you're at that time now, when penetrative sex is not possible or not reliable, you're not going to feel that sex is over, because you'll have all these other ways to give and receive pleasure. I think Viagra is a wonderful invention, but it can't be the goal. Penetrative sex just mustn't be the goal. In fact, I hear so much from women in heterosexual relationships who say, since my spouse started taking Viagra, that's all it's about.
Okay.
That our sex life just revolves around having that erection and not letting it go to waste.
Yeah,
and they feel like, what about my pleasure? Where's the emphasis on my pleasure when it's all about how well the erection is working?
And it's such the common way we measure sex. I mean, that's what you see in porn, is that, you know, the guy comes and then sex is over, apparently, which, you know, shouldn't be the case in most situations. But yeah, that's pretty sad. So there's a lot of frustrated older women, basically, because of Viagra, maybe a lot of happy older men. So, well, speaking of penetrative sex and Viagra and the fact that maybe more older people might be having more sex nowadays as a result, how are we with STIs? Because I've heard that older folks are, you know, the biggest group for STI transmission. Is that correct?
It's not the biggest group, but it's the fastest growing group. In other words, we don't have the highest number of STIs, but the rate of infection is rising.
Okay.
Really, and it's been that way for a number of years. There are all sorts of reasons for that. Mainly that we think, well, we can't get pregnant, and he says he doesn't have any, and I'll seem like a slut if I inquire, and, you know, all of these stories.
Not much has changed.
We tell each other, I tell ourselves. So I have a free webinar online. Most of my webinars are have a fee, but this is a free one, and it's called Safer Sex for Seniors with Joan Price. It's on YouTube. It's also accessible from my website, joanprice.com. And I really recommend that everyone watch that. It's fun. It's entertaining, because I knew I wouldn't hold your attention if it was not. But the main idea is that if you think you don't need to use safer sex barriers with new partners, please watch this video. I explain to you why you do need to. And then I show you the different safer sex techniques and how they work and how to make them, how to normalize safer sex use. Because that's so important.
In your video, you say, like, leave it out as a little basket next to your bedside locker. And I absolutely love that idea of, like, a bunch of sex toys and condoms and lube just hanging out next to the locker and just being ready to go. It's such a lovely idea.
Exactly. And I also give people sample conversations. How do you bring it up? How do you respond if the partner says, oh, we don't need to. I was just tested. Well, if this new partner is trying to talk you into unprotected sex, then that partner has tried to talk a previous partner into unprotected sex.
Yes,
and that person has been willing with other partners and so on. And it just visualize all these people popping into bed with you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point of that. And do you think that, you know, at the moment, you know, I've heard Florida seems like a pretty wild place in the US for many reasons, but I've heard of, like, wild swinger parties going on down in Florida where they probably do have the basket of goodies next to their bed. Do you think that that's the reality of, like, people in retirement homes are getting it on more?
Well, there are senior swinger parties everywhere. Many people were swingers before they were seniors. Others came to it later. And usually the swinger parties are very safe places, because safer sex is not only recommended, it's required.
Okay, that's a good point. Wow, okay. And then, maybe you can meet some new friends, start a new time in your life. Well, you said on one of your webinars about the idea of arousal. Obviously, that's such a big part of sex. What can be affected by the lack of hormones as we age, you know, as testosterone, you know, and estrogen kind of ebbs off. So how do we keep arousal going then when we're at an older age?
There are many tips for keeping arousal. Include these. There are some easy tips and there are some that take more planning. For example, schedule sex a times a week. Just do it. Because once sex, whether that's solo or partnered, I don't get the same kind of benefits. That once your body is expecting it and your mind is expecting it, go into what I call mental foreplay, where you're anticipating it Wednesday. Ooh, this is really going to be fun. Which is toys are a really important way to promote it. Often when we're older, we need more stimulation. We need a higher level and more intensity of stimulation. Don't manage that very well. So, yes, bring sex toys into, which is also accessible from joanprice.com. I review sex toys from, and can this vibrator keep going as long as I need it to? Is it simply there? And I tell the truth about this. One of the other things that's really important is to understand the difference between spontaneous desire, something you can find on my website, and I've written articles about this. I have a blog post on hotoctopus.com about the difference between responsive desire, which is so important, which, just to give you the short answer for that, is spontaneous desire is when you go, oh, I'm just feeling in the mood for sex. I can't wait. Let me grab a partner and get going. And that doesn't happen so much for those of us who, as we get older. What does happen, though, is responsive desire, which is, I don't know if I feel like it or not, but I'm going to get started and see where it goes. Oh, wow, this works. I'm really glad we're doing this. Why don't we do it more often?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a life lesson for everybody, regardless of age, really, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yes.
Mm. And then, so you mentioned sex toys there. You know, is there an element of shame and stigma and embarrassment maybe for older people buying sex toys?
I think there doesn't need to be. There is, and some of that stigma comes from the partner who says, no, I should be enough for you. If I'm not, there's something wrong with you. Or is it something wrong with me? It's not something wrong with anybody.
Yeah.
No, it's just how our body, what our bodies need. Our bodies change. Let's just accept our bodies change and our needs change. So let's go into this together. It is doesn't need to be either or, a partner or a vibrator. Let's have a threesome, a partner and a vibrator and me.
Absolutely. Well, and that's safe sex as well. So always good. Yeah. Well, and you talk about as well the idea of making an action plan for ensuring safe sex. So what does that mean? How do you make an action plan for sex?
The action plan is you see, there are goals, what you want to have happen. And the action plan is, how are you going to make that happen? So, for example, if the issue was, we're not having sex much anymore because we don't even think about it much anymore. We don't have that spontaneous desire. Well, then maybe the action plan will include, let's have sex on Wednesday and Saturday afternoon. Notice I'm saying afternoon, not evening, because we're tired in the evening and sex doesn't work after a big meal.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So have sex when the rice is cooking.
Okay. Yeah, in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I don't know. That's the most comfortable for our old joints. But so if the goal is let's have sex more often because it does feel good when we do it, then part of the action plan is let's schedule it for 2 afternoons or 2 mornings a week and let's stick to that. Then part of it can be, let's bring the action plan. Let's find the vibrator that gets me to orgasm most efficiently, and let's have that within reach. The action plan will include, let's have a favorite lubricant within easy reach on the bed table or in the basket, in the sex basket. So all of these are part of the action plan. In other words, they are, what are the steps that you're going to take? And part of it can be lock the door, tell your grown kids not to bring the grandkids over without letting us know first, or making an appointment because we have our own lives and you do not want to open the door and find us.
No. No, I don't. Anyone doesn't want that for their parents, let alone grandparents.
No, you do not want that. And also part of that is to make an appointment with your medical professional if there are issues that may be caused by a health problem. There's not everything is self-help.
No, sometimes there's other deeper stuff going on, medical stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, speaking of, I suppose, looking at sex, hopefully consensually, not bursting in on people, you have your series with Jessica Drake. So it's The Guide to Wicked Sex, and that's focusing on senior sex. So how did that come about? The reaction to it?
Oh, that was just such a glorious experience. It was really the high point of 2019. So to back up a little, you've mentioned that you and I have run into each other at 6 conferences. Well, Jessica Drake, who many people just know as an adult film star, a porn star, is also a very well-respected sex educator. She is an amazing person, extremely smart and knowledgeable.
Yeah,
and lovely, absolutely. Yeah. And she understands that what we see in porn is not sex education. However, sex education can be explicit. These Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, and then the colon followed by the specific aspect of sex. She has them on threesomes or exploring your kink, or there are many different aspects of her instructional. Jessica Drake's Guide to Wicked Sex, Senior Sex, Do It With You.
So you mentioned there about, you know, how lovely it seemed with your couples that you had on screen. And it sounds like a really refreshing alternative to the kind of porn that you see with older folks and the language that's used, such as like granny porn or gilf porn. So were you very conscious about steering away from that kind of content?
We were very conscious of keeping it authentic, because this whole film, even though it's explicit, meaning there are naked bodies having sex, is educational. The idea of people have told me they do get turned on by it. That's nothing wrong with that. But the purpose of it was to be instructional, to show how do you, and you know, one of the things we were talking earlier about penetrative sex not being the goal. Penetrative sex was not the goal with these couples either. Okay. And no one told them to do it that way. This is the way they have sex. Sometimes penetration happens, sometimes it doesn't. But most of the sex that they expressed was non-penetrative. It was pleasuring each other. It was learning how do you feel today and what turns you on right now. And it was beautiful. It was very tender and exciting.
And a lovely way of, I suppose, building connection that isn't just straight penetrative sex, like through touch in so many different ways as well.
Exactly. They grabbed for sex toys. They experimented with things. For the longtime couple, it was, so what feels good to you today? Whereas the other couple, it was, I have no idea what you'll like. Do you think you'd like this?
Okay.
Can we try this? And it's really tuning into each other's responses. It was really beautiful how in all the cases, the individuals were tuned into each other, and they were trying to express what felt good to them and to learn what felt good to their partner at that given moment. And that's a lesson to be learned.
And speaking of lessons, I suppose, you know, that's so lovely that they have that connection. But how do you go about finding a new partner then, if, you know, if it is sex after bereavement or, you know, after grief? Like, how do you get back on the horse, so to speak, of, you know, trying to find a partner that is accepting of your sex drive and, you know, willing to communicate as well?
You know the saying, there's an app for that. Well, my saying is, there's a book for that. My latest
You've
book.
You've written it.
I did, yes. Is my latest book is Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved. And it's on exactly that. It is how you get back to sex after losing your beloved, after not being able to have sex with the person you want the most. And you knowing that will never be possible again. What do you do then? What do you do with your own sexuality? How do you bring that back into your life? And one of the things that I did with this book was to show, really illustrate that there's no one way that works for all of us. And there's no one way to do grief right. There are as many ways to do grief and to experience sex in the world. So I tell my grief story and all the ways that I tried to bring sex back into my life, sometimes out all that. And I also have experiences from other grievers, again, my newsletters. And I also have some interviews with people who are ex-workers who worked with the bereaved, or sex educators, you know, things to share. So it took 10 years before I felt ready to, 10 years after Robert died. And I'm so glad I did. It took me to a very dark place, the grief I felt after losing Robert, in order to share candidly what that's like and what I tried and what didn't work. And I had to reread and quote from my old journals from that time. There were chapters that I where I just went, oh, yes, this is something that people need to know. And let's talk honestly about this. Because when I was researching this, I thought, well, obviously this has been done, hasn't it? And I found no. That the grief books either didn't mention sex at all, or if they did, it was either one paragraph. Mainly the message was, don't make any decisions until you're a year from losing your lover. And I thought, well, a year, that can be good for some people, and it can be good for some decisions, but when you're ready to get back to sex, doesn't have a strict timeline. Your timeline is your own.
Yeah, bodies don't work like that.
No, and minds don't work that way. You may want to have sex the day after the funeral. You may want to wait for 10 years. It's entirely your own timeline.
Yeah.
So the book gives you ways to examine that in yourself. And it gives you ways to, one of my favorite parts of this book is how you talk to people who are trying to either get you to date sooner or not date as soon as you want to. There's advice for people who want to date a griever. I'm so proud of this book. So thank you for bringing up the topic.
Absolutely. And it's something that it is so important. You know, one of my earlier podcasts, we spoke with a woman who works in sexual health and nurse. She was saying that nurses don't really get any training to deal with bereavement and doctors don't. So it's so lovely to have a resource that actually helps people, because it's not the end of your sex life. If your loved one passes away, you know, either with yourself, your own sex life, or with a new partner as well. And it's nice to recognize that in society and actually bring it out that you're not, it's not the full stop, you know, so to speak.
Exactly right. You put that very well.
And then how do you reclaim your body, I suppose, after, you know, because if you're with someone for, say, 50 years or something, and you can get very comfortable or, you know, set in a routine, or if you haven't been with anyone for a long time, how do you rediscover yourself after grief in order to, you know, rediscover or to discover a new person, so to speak?
I think it's important to rediscover your sexuality on your own, with your own hands, your own vibrators, and to just feel what you need. Often people tell me that they were, after they brought themselves to orgasm solo, that they just started to cry because they weren't with the person they wanted to be with. And yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That is going to happen. And
like
yet,
sadness and happiness all at once.
Yeah, but for the moment, you can lift yourself out of that. For the moment, and it will get easier. The more you do it, the easier it will get to be able to say, wow, my body is still capable of responding this way. I can, for a few minutes, float in the afterglow of giving myself a much-needed orgasm.
I love that. That sounds amazing. Well, because, like, you know, orgasm has so many health benefits as well, from relieving stress to helping you sleep better at night and, you know, reconnecting with your body. And it's a shame to think that all ends at some point.
That's right. That's right. And we have to, but we have to also give ourselves permission if we're not ready to do that right away.
Yeah,
if it takes a long, because part of what happens with grief is a feeling of numbness at a certain point. And the numbness can extend into the body. It isn't just the brain numbness, grief brain. It is also the body numbness, where part of us is protecting ourselves against feeling, I think.
Yeah.
And we're closing off sensation.
And do you think there's a sense of guilt? A part of that?
Well, I find that was true for many people who wrote to me, especially when they felt ready to have partnered sex again. There was, for many, not for all, but for many, there was a huge feeling of guilt. I shouldn't want someone else. I'm betraying my beloved if I have sex with someone else.
Okay.
And, you know, you have to come to this for yourself. It's all individual. But one of the things I tell people is, what would your partner have told you before the partner died? Would the partner have said, don't have sex with anyone else because you're mine and that's it for eternity? Or would your partner have said, I want you to have joy in your life again. And if I can't give that to you, please find someone who can.
Yeah, which is nice. Yeah, a lot of people, I can imagine, don't have that conversation.
And you know, while we're saying it this way, for all the people who are listening to this, who are in a partnered relationship right now, have that conversation.
Yeah.
Give your lover permission. Do that. Do that face to face, voice to voice, while you can.
Yeah.
It will be so important later.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we need to have conversations about death anyway, you know, of like, you know, what kind of funeral do you want? What kind of songs do you want played at your funeral? You know, those kind of things. And we often shy away from them. So to add in sex into that, you know, because that's not spoken about. So that would be a lovely, you know, I suppose, addition to that conversation. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And to even put it in writing, because that will be really meaningful later, to write a love letter to your person. Write a love letter. And within that include, if I die before you, I give you permission. I in fact entreat you to find joy where you can. And if you find someone else to love, that's wonderful, because you have so much love in you.
That's so sweet. That's such a lovely thing to do, and really speaks of kindness and compassion and love and care. So yeah, that's such a lovely idea. Oh, we might leave it there before I start crying out of kindness and everything. That's so lovely. Joan, where can people find you to carry on your work? Because your work is it's so important. And, you know, for blown away the cobwebs and the silence and, you know, bringing joy back into people's lives. And you're a much needed resource in everyone's life. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing. So where can people find you? You have a website.
Yes, joanprice.com is the place you'll find everything. You'll find my my website, my blog, my books, my webinars. And if you are listening to this in Ireland, I can't ship my books to Ireland, but you can from your local bookseller or from your version of Amazon, whatever you have there. You can buy the ebook or you can request the print book. My webinars, you can purchase from anywhere in the world. If you say you use PayPal or use a credit card, I'll be able to take payment and I'll be able to give you the link and the password so that you can watch the webinars. And since I don't know when, if ever, I will be local to you presenting workshops in person. I would love to, but
I would absolutely love that.
Maybe if any of you are affiliated with an organization who can hire me to come speak, I have a suitcase packed. I would love that. But meanwhile, my webinars are available to you, and I have plenty of articles online also. There's a lot of information, and I'm so, so happy that you're bringing my work to Ireland, Karen.
Thank you for putting it out there in the world and, you know, helping people to get back on the horse, no pun intended again, but you know, thank you. And you know, you're spreading kindness and joy in the world, and that's what the world needs, you know, definitely.
Thank you.
Do you have any social media accounts people can follow?
Oh, absolutely. And I am on Facebook and Twitter, and those you can all find from joanprice.com. There are links to all my social media and everything else I'm doing. And there's also a link to subscribing to my newsletter. I really suggest people do that. You won't be deluged with stuff. I send out a newsletter about once a month, sometimes twice, but usually only once a month. And there, if I have interesting articles online or there's other senior sex in the news, I'll give you links to that. So that will help you just once a month get caught up with everything I'm doing.
Brilliant. Listen, Joan, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak to me today. Thank you.
I appreciate you so much, Carolyn. You do good work. you do great work.
Wow, brilliant. No, thank you. And a massive thank you to all our listeners today as well. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to this lovely chat with this amazing woman. So thank you. Don't forget, you can find Glow West on Twitter. We're Glow_West_ and on Instagram I'm at Glow West Insta, all one word as well, and we have different competitions and stuff over there as well. And don't forget to rate and review if you can, and I look forward to chatting to you next time. Bye.